Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, we're still taking a break from 2 Corinthians. It's going to be a New Year's message. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Philippians, the book of Philippians. There should be a Bible in the pew there if you didn't bring one with you. We're really going to be focusing on verse 12 to the end, but we might as well read the whole chapter, get everything in context. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship God by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is in their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. May God give us understanding of his word this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we're so thankful to be here. So privileged, so blessed. We think about the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering because of their faith in you. And let us never take for granted the freedom that we have in this country to worship together like this. And we pray for understanding of your word that we've read this morning. May we not be distracted, but focus so you can speak to each and every one of us, not just as a group, but as individuals. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me.
Well, I'll trust you all had a Merry Christmas and look forward to a Happy New Year. This is usually a time when people make New Year's resolutions. Some people do, some people don't. Some people have given up making resolutions because they can't keep them. About 90% apparently people break those resolutions within a couple of months. One pessimist made a resolution. He said, my New Year's resolution is to break them all. That way, at least I'll succeed in something. You may have heard about, have you ever read Gulliver's Travels? Have you ever even heard of it? It's about those vertically challenged people from Lilliput. And not real. It's written by a man called Jonathan Swift, English author. And he had an unusual greeting for people. Wonder what yours is when you greet people. His greeting was this when he met somebody. May you live every day of your life. May you live every day of your life. This year, we're still in 2019, is almost gone. And looking back, how many days did we live every day to its fullest? Can we say that we lived every day to its fullest? Living life to its fullest is what the Apostle Paul did. Certainly no man had better excuses for being miserable than him. The life that he led, the way, having been saved as a Christian, and the things that he suffered, his life was very hard, very, very hard. All he did was wanting to serve the Lord. He went about doing good, trying to reach people for Christ. He suffered the consequences. Doing good, serving Jesus, yet the worst kind of things happened to him, always seemed to happen to him. He was arrested, falsely accused many times, simply because he was a Christian. Thankfully, in our culture, our society, that's not happening to us. He really suffered for the cause. He was beaten unjustly with wooden rods, pommeled with stones, left for dead, flogged more than once to an inch of his life. It was a tough cookie. What would you say? A tough cookie? We've got some tough cookies out here. We've got some soft ones too. Leftovers from Christmas. He was a real tough cookie. He survived it all. And eventually we know that he was beheaded in Rome, being a Roman citizen. He was thrown into prisons, which were unlike the Hotel Californias that we have today in our society. Once he almost drowned, having been shipwrecked on the high seas, survived. He often went without food, often went without clothing. Finances, he was totally dependent upon the church, totally dependent upon the Lord to provide his needs. But he never gave up. He never gave up with all the deprivation and the suffering and the trials and the troubles. He kept pressing on to fulfill his calling. He was afflicted with illnesses. He bore the scars for serving God. Yet now he's got a new body. Yet this man seemed to live every day to its fullest, regardless of the circumstances, once having received Jesus as his personal Savior. He could look back on his life as being worthwhile, and he probably didn't get saved until his 30s. And it doesn't matter when you get saved, as long as you get saved. I didn't get saved till I was 31 years old, and I've been a Christian longer than I was a heathen, thankfully, so I won't give my age away. Most of us, if not all of us, are conscious of the fact that we don't always live every day to its fullest. You know, people ask us, you know, and what was your greeting? We know that Jonathan Swift was, may you live every day of your life. And we say to people, how are you doing? You know, just a matter of course. And we usually say, great, or fine, whatever that means, whatever fine means. Well, you know they're not fine when they say fine. But we know that's not always the case. Of course, you ask some people how they're doing, you've got this long litany of problems, so you learn not to ask them. Did Pastor say that? Yeah, he did. But regardless of the struggles, we know that we are on a far better road than most people in this world who are on the wrong road, the road that leads to destruction. We read those verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, amongst other things, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We've got abundant life. Do you feel like you've got abundant life? Is life abundant for you? Only you can answer that question. Although our attitude gives away the answer. That speaks volumes. Our attitude that shows us if we are truly living an abundant life. Is life abundant for you? Today, let's remember these words that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, especially verses 12. And he says, not that I've already attained at this, I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting, we're about to enter into a new year, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Forgetting, is what he's saying is, forget about the past. It's gone. We can't change it. Amen? Forgetting what is behind. You ever tried forgetting what is behind? It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Our brains are far superior than any human could ever produce. Any computer that could be reproduced or produced. Our brains are far, far superior. We can't just erase memories from our minds, can we? Whether it be good or bad, we sooner remember the good ones. But it's never good to ponder on discouraging thoughts. That can weigh us down. And of course, Satan, the evil one, wants us to focus on those things where we have failed. We've failed God. We've failed other people. We've even failed ourselves. Right? I'm not saying we're a bunch of failures on us. But we fail. We're human beings. Amen? We're not perfect. That's why we needed the perfect one to come and die in our place, because we're sinners. But Satan's going to, you know, he's like an evil little architect. He's always digging up the past. Is it architect? No. What do you call those people? Archaeologists, yes. He's an evil archaeologist. He's always trying to dig up the past and remind us of the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. But Paul says, forget. Forget about those things. Press on. Move ahead. He didn't say erase the past from our minds, because from the mistakes that we've made, we can learn from those mistakes. This is how we learn, right? This is how I learn. And hopefully we won't make the same mistakes again. We can learn from our mistakes, and hopefully with God's help, not repeat them. Hopefully. But Paul didn't let his failures or his successes stop him from running the Christian race. Neither should we. He must have had a lot of guilt. He consented to the death of many Christians. The first martyr, Stephen, he was there consenting to his death when Stephen was stoned to death. Who knows how many people that he threw in prison, men, women, and children, because of their belief in Jesus. The persecutor became a Christian, and his life was transformed. And then he began to be persecuted because of his faith. So there's a lot of things that he regretted in his life, but he was forgetting about those things. He was a new creation in Christ now. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God's got a plan. He wants us to run the race. He wants us to be on a road. But we can veer off that road, and some people, you know, get sidetracked and they don't go on with the Lord and they don't finish the race. We have besetting sins. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. We all have besetting sins, regardless of what they are. And only we and God know about them. We've got to put those to one side and keep on keeping on. Now, the race we ran in the past is gone. Paul says, forget those things that are in the past. Forget about the past. Shortly, we're going to enter into a new year. And now it's time to run a new race. And any race is not run by looking back, but looking forward. Too many runners have lost the race by looking back, getting tripped up, or taking their eyes off the goal, the finishing line. Where's the finishing line for the Christian? Pardon? Yes. Right. That's the finishing line. So we need to keep on keeping on. Keep running the race, the Christian race. Not look back. Keep our eyes on the Lord. You know? You say that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower. You can't follow somebody unless you're looking at them. Can you? No. It's a rhetorical question. So Paul says, number one, forget about the past. Number two, live for today. Live for today. Suppose you met with a doctor and you've not been feeling very well. And then he tells you you've only got 6 months to live. God forbid. You've only got 6 months left. Or a week left. Or just one day left. How would you live today? Thankfully, it won't happen. We hope. But here's the thing. God doesn't give us tomorrow. There's no guarantees. He only gives us today. Amen? We're not promised tomorrow. Yet we assume, especially if you're young, that you've got plenty of tomorrows. There's no guarantee. No guarantee. Even young people die. Remember my home church in England, there was twins. Lovely boys, godly, young, sweet boys. Twins. One day, mother's cooked breakfast. She calls up to get the sons out of bed. The other one passed away. Why? The Lord took him. It was his turn to go. It was his time. What do you say? The good die young. And although it was tragic, his mother knew that the Lord had taken him. And one of the blessings is he didn't have to suffer anymore. He was taken out. He didn't have to suffer like the rest of us in one form or another, which we all do because of this fallen world and the fallen nature. So, live for today. There's no guarantees of tomorrow. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Are you rejoicing today? Yeah. We take so many things for granted. We've heard it all before. You know, people in the third world, they don't have the privilege that we have to come to a place like this and hear the word of God preached or taught because they don't even have the word of God, many of them, in their own language. You know, think, well, if things are only different, never say that. We live today. Today is the gift that God gave us. God loves you, and he wants to give you abundant life. Every day, each and every day. Never say, well, if things were different, then I'd do this or I'd do that, or you know, what if this or what if that? Let's live life today and run the race and ask God. Always keep asking God each and every day the question, what do you want me to do? In every situation, in every circumstance, we need to keep asking God each and every day, what do you want me to do? Seek his wisdom. Those that lack wisdom, ask God and he gives it to us liberally. Only Jesus can give our life real purpose. He's the one that created you in your mother's womb. He's the one that founded the church. We talked about that in adult Sunday school in Acts chapter 1. He's the one that founded the church, the body of Christ, 2,000 years, just over 2,000 years ago, and continues to build his church. We keep praying that the Lord will build his church here. Amen. As individuals, we are part of the body of Christ. And we can only find true purpose in obeying and serving him. So, let's forget about the past. What's the second one? Live for today. And number three, trust God for tomorrow. Trust God for tomorrow. Jesus says, and I'll paraphrase Matthew 6:34, the Rennie version. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Some of you are already worried what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of itself. We may not have a tomorrow. Instead of worrying about tomorrow, we need to trust God today. And then trust him when tomorrow comes, if it comes. You know, if you're a student, and some of us have been, and I still am, a student of the Word of God, because you always learn something new. And we're never going to stop learning. But if you're a student at a university, a college, school, or whatever, and you've got a test tomorrow, you better study today. Because if you don't study hard today, chances are you're going to fail the test tomorrow. Likewise, there are some things that we can do today that will help us fulfill what God wants us to do tomorrow in and through us. We've all been given gifts. We've all got natural talents. I must admit, I'm a pretty good drummer. But we don't. Can't keep doing a drum solo every week, can you? You have to put your earplugs in. We've got natural gifts. We've got to use those natural gifts. We've also been given spiritual gifts once we get saved. What are they? Do you know what yours is? You need to find out. And God has brought this church, this building, the First Baptist Church, a long way in these last few years. And we give him the praise and the thanks and the glory for what he's done, only to take us further ahead. I'm optimistic, aren't you? I'm looking forward to next year to see what God's going to do in this place and through you, and hopefully through me. How much further will depend on the grace of God, and it will depend on you. How far is he going to take us? Well, we'll find out, won't we? We'll find out in this coming new year. The same God who has seen us through and has blessed this church for over 200 years. When was it founded? 17, what? 88? 86? Thank you, Linda. Let's say over 200 years. God hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God is paving the way for better things to come. Do you believe that? I believe it. And I know this message is from the Lord. I don't pick the hymns. But that first one we sang, I've got it right here in my notes. That old song that says, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow and I know he holds my hand. Do you think that's a coincidence? No way. So let's keep on trusting him for today. Let's trust him for tomorrow. And for every day, amen? Because all things do work together for good when we put all things in the Master's hands. So today we've learned a simple formula for enjoying life. Get the most out of each day, including the coming new year. Let's remind one another what they are. I don't normally do a three-point message, but today you've got one. Forget about the past. Live for today. Wherever you are, whoever you are, giving all you have to serve Jesus, to serve his church, which is the body of Christ. And in so doing, as you serve one another, you'll be serving the Master. Amen. Jesus says, all you have to do is give a cup of water to somebody in my name, and you're doing it for me. And you'll be rewarded accordingly if it's done with the right motive at the judgment seat of Christ. Forget about the past. Trust God for tomorrow. God's always there to lead us, always there to guide us each step of the way, because he loves you. He will always take care of you. Do you believe that? He'll always take care of you. So I'll close with a quote that I mentioned earlier by Jonathan Swift. May you live every day of your life. So God bless each and every one of you. And may you all have a very happy new year. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, again, we're so thankful to be here. We thank you for your word, the things that we've sung, the things that we've heard. And help us to remember some things we need to forget. You tell us that as far as the east is from the west, you remember our sins no more. But the old enemy is going to try to cause discontent in our minds and our hearts to remind us of the things we may have done, where we've fallen short, where we failed you. We've failed others, we've even disappointed ourselves. But you tell us not to focus on those things, to forget about those things, and look forward and compete in the race and finish the line. So one day we'll see you face to face, and it'll all be worth it all when we see you. So help us by your grace to use the gifts, the talents, to serve one another, in so doing, serving you. There may be somebody listening to this message, wherever you are, by radio. You may be here this morning, or listening on the computer, wherever the case, and you don't have that peace that passes all understanding, because you've never received the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. May this be the day. There may not be another tomorrow. So we need to be certain that when we leave this world, that we're going to heaven. And the only guarantee that we have is to receive you as our personal Savior, personally. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. There's only one. There's no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Only a fool would reject Jesus Christ and the guarantee of eternal life in heaven. But you need to receive him. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, the things that I've done, the way I've lived. I'm sorry because of my sins you had to go to that cross and suffer and die in my place, take the punishment that I deserve for the things that I've done. But I believe you are the Lord. And I believe that you died for me, that you were buried, that you rose again from the dead to give me eternal life. And I call upon your name, Jesus, to save me. And if you prayed that prayer and you mean it, then you've passed from death unto life and serve the Lord and be a witness wherever you go. So again, Father, we thank you. We look forward to this new year. We forget about the past. Cannot change it. But we can be your witness and use the gifts that you've given us for the benefit of your church. May you build your church here in Korain. May many come to know you as personal Savior so that you can receive the glory that you deserve. And we ask all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.